good morning.
Good morning. You okay?
I'm not bad. You?
I'm not bad. I still haven't sent you that song, have I?
No, I'm looking forward to that.
No, it's going to be good. No, Mark and I are still writing together, you know, what, however many years after Tigers Are Back. Was that our first composition? Co-write? Was it?
Apart from probably when we were about nine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, probably apart from when we were nine and making up rude, you know, new things about
similar standards.
Yeah, exactly. So the reason why this happened, Harry, was because you put up something that you just got the single, you just got the Tigers Are Back?
Got it here. Yeah.
Look at that, Mark. That's Mark's design.
Very nice.
Beautiful, excellent design.
Yeah, yeah. Because when I started the podcast, I needed an intro to it. So I was thinking, I was like, oh, it's got to be that song from the 80s. Which is perfect. And then a few people commented on it, and I was like, I'll have a look on eBay. And then, yeah, managed to get one. So,
can I ask how much they're going for on eBay?
I think this is around, with postage, I think it was about £8 or something.
Well, that's probably what I expected, yeah. Probably about, you know, a few quid for the album, and then it's bloody $4.99 for postage. Yeah, I'm a glutton.
What did it cost at the time, then?
Oh, God, what would it have been? Not buttons, wouldn't it?
£2,
yeah. Hey, it was number one in the Sydney Scarborough chart.
In the whole region, yeah.
But didn't it knock Duran Duran off the top spot?
Yeah.
You know what I should have got? I should have, stupid me. I've got sort of little clips that, you know, my mum and dad saved of the campaign, as it were. It was hilarious, wasn't it, Mark? My brother's just reminded me, because I've just been on with him. He was remembering, so... I mean, do you want us to start talking about the single straight away?
Well, maybe just to get a bit of context and everything, like...
Yeah, how... who the hell are you, you mean?
Like, how did your relationship come about? And, like, you say you were friends when you were kids.
We were at school together, yeah. And then we just carried on. And then we were at art... Oh, no, you weren't at art college together, but I was at art college, and then you followed me into Hull Art College. And then we... Yeah, because we lost touch a bit and then came back. Yeah. Now...
When you went to art school, I think I probably applied at the same time. But didn't, you know, I even applied to Liverpool where you went, but didn't.
Oh, right.
And maybe the year after you, I think.
And maybe it was, yeah.
So then I went to art school 4 or 5 years later, was it?
Yeah.
So I went to college quite late.
I mean, Mark was a very good draftsman, and you were doing cartoons when you were nine. You were doing amazing cartoons and stuff, and of course then became a top 10 lyricist with the Christians. With the Christians. So Mark and I wrote some of the songs on the early Christians album, the first Christians album, Ideal World, Hooverville. Just still doing my set, and the Christians still doing their set. They're still going, despite, you know, there's only Gary from the original band. And Sad Songs, isn't it? You wrote that.
Yeah.
And every now and then we've met up to write a song or two. I think one of the very early ones would have been The Tigers Are Back. It would have. That's 84, isn't it, Mark? I think.
84.
So where did City kind of fit in with everything, yeah, when you were growing up?
Where did City fit in?
Yeah.
Again, I think you were so into them at school, Mark, and I think you probably got a lot of us. So we were the form below you, weren't we? And I think you got us into it, didn't it?
I sound like an old fuddy duddy, aren't I? I went. The first game I remember, I'm told I went before this, but the first game I remember was probably when Wagga's debut, which was. Wagstaff's debut, which was 64.
Right.
It was Exeter City at home. They won 3-1. Quite a big
I remember.
Because all the Wagstaff children out and all came at the same time. So that, I think that's when that's my first memory of Pinfrey Park.
I think I was first aware of it at when we played Chelsea in the FA Cup. Was there a replay, wasn't there?
Yeah, that was 66.
66, that was. So I'm a bit late. I was a bit late to the table, me.
They went up that year, didn't they? I think.
Yeah. And then so we used to meet we were tended to be the north stand, didn't we, Marcus?
I lived in Bidlington, so we used to often come through by train to the whole city centre. We'd go to that place where you had fish and chips, the Gainsborough. Do you ever get
the Gainsborough? Yeah.
And then you get a train to Beaufort Park.
That was amazing, wasn't it? The train. So was that, Harry? Was that still operating when you went to Boothroyd?
No, never saw that.
No, it stopped ages ago, didn't it? But that was fantastic. You just jumped on a Paragon and straight, you know, with a load of mad supporters heading to the match. It was great. Yeah.
And the big North Stand wasn't there when I started going, but was that where the majority of people would go for the singing, or was it still South Stand?
It was Bunkers Hill. It was the South Stand, it was the main stand. Yeah. But the North Stand kept all the noise in. So, you know, the real, what we used to call the Boothroyd Roar, it sort of went when that North Stand went. It sort of opened it all out and became a bit. It never had the same atmosphere they had when they had the North Stand.
Yeah.
This is like being in an old people's home.
You know, you go off and do what you do. Like, how often did you get to see City, like, through the 70s and early 80s?
How did I get to see them?
No, like, how often did you go watch them?
I used to go every home game.
I'm more of a sort of armchair supporter, but I, you know, still I get wound up on a Saturday and excited and that. But no, in the 80s, the 70s and 80s, I was going quite a lot, and they sort of slipped away. Well, I said being over here, you know.
Geographically, things do. I moved to London and I didn't go as often to home games then. And then
you're still a season ticket owner, aren't you, Matt?
No, I gave up last year.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was it that Alan finally got to you?
Sort of. Yeah, I sort of became a bit detached from the club, actually.
Right, yes.
Over the last few years, yeah.
No, I know what you mean, to be fair. Yeah. It's nice to have a bit of a positive feeling back now, though.
Absolutely, yeah. I've got an Alan out. I think they made two. What's it called?
Jeff
Beale. Why can't I remember Jeff? Jeff Beale gave me, I think he gave one to the Alums, didn't he? Or something, didn't he? Or did they return?
He gave a scarf, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the scarf. Yes, I should put that. that's historic now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all the Alum out and staying away. The trouble is, you get used to doing other things.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying, isn't it?
It takes quite a lot to bring you back again.
Do you think will you get a season ticket for next year, Mark, do you think?
I don't know. It's not tempting me enough yet to get back during the winter months and everything.
So what was the build up to actually, you know, writing the song? Like you say, you're writing songs before that.
No.
Was I already at film school then when we did this?
You'd have been at film school '84. I'd have been. Mark was a big fan of my first band, Yachts, one of the few. and so we sort of kept in touch, and we saw each other quite a bit, didn't we, every now and then?
Yeah, well, you were doing a bit of music, probably doing a bit of music for my films.
Yes, that's right, yes. Mark got me to do some music for, well, various films, was it?
But back then it was for I was doing animation back then. At that time, that's when City went into administration and stuff. That was why we thought of the song on it.
Yeah.
To help the player, because the players weren't getting paid for a couple of months. So it was really, a charity thing for the players.
It was, yeah.
That was cool, yeah.
And so we had this. Well, how are we going to do this? I was working in a studio. I was in engineering, not really knowing what I'm doing and what I was doing in a studio in Liverpool. So there was downtime I could nick. And I thought, right, okay, well, if I record the backing tracks, I did all the music, and it was an old Yacht song, wasn't it, Mark, off the second album? Yeah, it was called Out of Luck. Out of luck. And still, I forget what, I can't remember the lyrics.
The first thing we did was to try and choose which song it should be,
because we thought, and that just seemed to have something about it. It was quite, well, it felt.
Rather than doing the work of thinking of a new one.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt epic, didn't it, in a way? You know, yeah. It was something. And then Mark came up with a lyric. Hull City, the Tigers are back. And of course, that's a bit of a remembrance, which is on the original, isn't it, Mark? It's on the second Yorks album. And so, yeah, I was working in the studio and I thought, okay, well, I'll do the backing track. We'll take it over to Booth 3. And then we were in the hallowed portals, weren't we, Mark? We were in the director's box.
Yeah, so they just had a huge win, haven't they, against
Stockport?
7-0.
7-0.
So I think we're in a good enough mood to come in on a Sunday.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, which is great.
And even sing. Yeah.
So, but the whole thing was like people I was speaking to recording engineers, and they said, "Well, how are you going to do it?" And I said, "Well, we're just going to. My brother's got a little reel to reel." It was an Akai 4000DS for those in the know. He's just told me that he wanted me to let you know what the model was. And so the engineer said to me, "It won't work. It won't sync up. How are you going to get it to sync up?" I said, "Well, it will, won't it?" So we didn't even know whether it would work or not. So we played the track to, I think we played it through an old guitar amp. And initially it was to have them, I think, singing a lot more, you know.
Well, the players were never going to sync up anyway, even with modern equipment.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's true. That's cruel but fair, that, Mark, yes. But it was, you know, I could see a lot of them. You could think, what on earth are we here for? Why are we doing this? But they got into it, and you know, which at least it was a simple enough chorus. I realised, no, there's no point in trying to get anybody to sing any of the lead lyric. I had to do that. And even the main chorus lyric, it's me mainly, isn't it? I think it's quite embarrassing to listen to, but yeah, it did. It worked when I brought it back. It somehow sort of, it synced up all right.
But how did you approach the club in the first place? Were they quite receptive to it from the start, kind of thing?
Had we done your film, Mark? Have you done A Kick in the Grass?
No, we don't. You were so old now, but you get these things muddled up, don't you? No, the film came after.
Did it? So how did we get
in? We just got in touch with Don Robinson.
And he was a mover and a shaker, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine being quite up his street, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He said, "I'll make this number one in Hull, don't worry." And indeed he did. Yes, that probably was it. It was just...
We've probably been chatting anyway, because, again, I'd done some cartoons about Hull City and got to meet Chris Chilton and people like that. So we were sort of... talking to somebody there anyway. Crystal was there at the time?
And there's that lovely the Chris Chilton cartoon that Mark did for me for my birthday, which we've got Chris to sign and Mark signed it, and it's I gave that to Jeff last year, or no, before, was it before lockdown? He was going to auction it, so I'm not sure what happened to it, but I hope it's gone to a good home, I'm sure.
Mm. It looked nothing like Chris Chilton.
The old magic, that's what it's called, isn't it? The old magic, yeah.
Oh, but in terms of lyrics then, was that a joint effort in terms of the lyrics?
No, mainly you, that wasn't it, Mark, I think.
What's that?
I think I just left the lyrics to you, didn't I?
Yeah, then, yes, I think so. I mean, what always happens when you and I write together is, you know, when we start tinkering with them.
We tinker, yes. And I usually give...
Getting some odd words like doldrums and things.
The doldrums, yeah. Oh, and then, of course, there's Geats and Clog Dennis.
Yeah, well, that was... I think because we knew we were doing it, the song, I take a little cassette tape recorder to Gaines to try and get some crowd noises. And I think that came from, I was trying to work this out the other day, came from an away game a few weeks before that, we recorded it.
Wow, all right.
At Port Vale or somewhere. A horrible, sort of miserable 1-0 defeat at Port Vale. And somebody just saying, shouting that out at the crowd.
Well, that's got to go in.
And then I suppose you borrowed crowd noises from library stock or something, didn't you?
I got most of it. It's actually a very cool record to drop into conversation. It's La Dusseldorf, who are this krautrock band, that's their genre, from, Dusseldorf. And it just had this great, I tried the Pink Floyd one, which was off Pink Floyd's medal. It's a Liverpool crowd, and it's, I think it was too well known. I thought people will spot that. So I thought, I've got this Nat Dusseldorf, which had a great crowd noise on it. So I just used that. Were there any other effects? I think they came back in the middle, don't they? Do the effects come back in the middle? I think they do. Okay. Harry will know, because he's the one who listened to it most recent.
He's the one who buys this rubbish.
It is fondly remembered, which is crazy, really.
And do you know Don Records? Is that Don Robinson, or is that a coincidence?
Oh no, it's all out there. What's it? Is it Avogo Dennis music, isn't it?
Yeah, Avogo Dennis.
Is it published by Avogo Dennis?
And the numbers COL001, is that right?
It is. Colin Apples. It's not Harry. It's not just thrown together.
No, I just love that Don Records. It looks cool.
Don Records, yeah. And so Mark did all the artwork. And then we had to go down. You were in London at the time, weren't you, Mark? And I passed my test on the, whatever it was, the Tuesday. And the first journey I did after passing my test, bless my mum for letting me take a car, was down to this Mini, down to London, to Mark's, where you had all the, you know, these boxes and boxes. How many do we have? Do we press up?
I think I must have been in the north. I came down with, and I was on that journey with you.
You were? I think you might have.
I remember you driving to London for the first time, being quite a tense moment for me as well.
Yeah. I think we went around Marble Arch, didn't we? And I'm going, what the hell's this? I'd only just passed my test, but it was all for a good cause. Yeah, and then we picked up all these, and then we brought them back up and dropped them off at City, didn't we? I think at Boothra, I assume.
Yes, I think did we go to Sydney Scarborough? I seem to have a memory of going to the record shop and taking some there.
Maybe we did.
They're mainly in our garages.
Well, they mark, now they're going for, under a fiver on eBay. It might be time to bring those out.
Just going back to the recording. So, can you remember which players turned up? And did you say it was in the boardroom where they recorded the voices?
It was in the boardroom, Sunday lunchtime, and I think they were all forced to come.
I think they were forced to come, yeah. Which, right. Again...
It showed on their faces that were there. And then it gradually became a bit sort of, more relaxed, didn't it? I don't know if they were drinking or what, but they were all there. Brian Marwood and...
Gareth.
It was that promotion squad,
Yeah.
Future England managers and Yeah. people.
Can you remember some of them being more up for it than others, kind of thing?
I remember Dennis Boone being up for it, but out of tune.
But then, of course,
I
don't really remember. I probably was panicking so much anyway. Were you sort of front of house, Mark, trying to G them up, or were we both doing it? It was probably me, actually. I think my brother was probably operating the tape machines, and he's just reminded me we had a cassette there as well to record it. I mean, it's just so lo-fi. It's just incredible that it actually sounded half cool, a third decent, But I get confused with that day. And, of course, then was it the next year, Mark? We went to Florida to make A Kick in the Grass with roughly the same squad, was it?
Yes, changed a bit. Come out of position. They just missed out on the last day of the season of getting promotion.
So slightly spoiled the film, didn't it? Well, it had to start with a down.
Yeah.
A down, yeah. Have you seen that, Harry?
No, I was going to ask, what is Kick in the Grass?
I was at the National Film School, and I went in as an animator, but very soon went off animation. When I realised it takes a year to do one joke. I turned to live action, and going to live action, I did a documentary, and the documentary was following City on their tour of Florida.
Ah, okay.
In 84 was when they missed out on promotion by... And then they went to Florida, and that was when Brian Horton was flown out as the new manager, and it was was at taxpayers' expense, our holiday.
I think I have seen on YouTube, actually. Is it on Tiger Tree? Yeah. I think I have watched it at some point when we played Tampa Bay.
But yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mark got me over there as sound music, you know, to do the music for the film and also interview people on that.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously good experiences like big city fans then.
Yeah, it was fantastic. How long were we there, Mark? A week?
10 days, I would say.
10 days? It was 10 days.
We went to Fort Lauderdale and Miami. We went to a few places, didn't we?
Yeah.
Tampa. It was supposedly a cup. It was a two-legged cup final, Arrow Air cup final. Mm. And even that was a damp squib, wasn't it? Because we'd already won 3-0 at home. So
yeah.
There's no competitive edge to that. It was just a very interesting.
It was
interesting, wasn't it?
Was that Don? Was that Don Robinson came up with that idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Arrow Air Cup.
Yeah. With Rodney Marsh, who was their manager of.
That's right. Oh God, yeah. Because I had to interview Rodney Marsh and Malcolm Allison, didn't I? Yeah.
How did that go?
I was probably shitting myself. Yes. All I remember is you and one of the things I remember with all that lot is we were at probably the Tampa Bay's ground or whatever. They were all doing training and, you know, Mark, we were behind the goal, weren't we, Mark? Do you remember you were filming behind her? And I just, somebody whacked this ball, just winded me, you know. Typical footballers, they're all laughing their heads off of these, you know, lily-livered artists and musicians.
I remember filming when we were behind the goal and in the main game at Tampa Bay Stadium, which is an enormous stadium. We were behind the goal and all the crowd was shouting at us. And we thought they were just shouting at us because we were fat and English or what. but then there was a goal went in and there was explosives behind the goal. Those huge things went in, those explosions went up, and we'd been wandering aimlessly across them. Yes. I remember also the moment when Brian Horton came. Don Robinson kept it secret that Brian Horton was coming out to be introduced to the squad as the new manager to replace Colin Appleton. And none of the players knew, and so the players were on their normal routine of getting very drunk. And do you remember this, Adam? We shouldn't really name names, but a certain section of the squad were just way gone. being introduced to Brian Horton. All bleary-eyed. And,
I can visualise that meeting there when everybody was in that big room. And here is, you know, Don Robinson introducing. Here's a surprise. And you're right, it was... That was great, great fun though. Really, really good fun doing that. There's a strippogram featured in it, Mark, isn't there?
Yeah.
It follows. It captures that era, and it captures what footballers were like at that day. They all like George Benson, and who else did they like? There were probably one who was properly into music. You know, they weren't really into music. We couldn't really bond on that front, you know. Have you heard the new, I don't know, human
It's interesting league? That thing about, you know, never meet your heroes, because, you know, half of them turn out to be great, but then you're not really sure about the other half. But they were very, I mean, we still got quite friendly, weren't they? And, I mean, they've got a lot of free tickets for next season. And
people like
Tony Norman were just fantastic.
Oh, Tony, yeah. And people like, Stan McEwen came and saw me play live about 2013 or something like that. Bless him, you know. Because we went. Occasionally, you know, you do bump into them if you're at the match or whatever. And it's nice that they still remember us. These two, as Mark said, you know, knobheads, artists and musicians, fondly remembered.
It was an exciting time to follow City at that point, though. Did feel like a lot was happening, kind of thing, with Don Robinson and everything.
I mean, they've been in the set, you know, in the 60s, 70s, after promotion of Wagstaff and all that, they were in the second division for so long. I mean, years and years and decades. and then they failed and went down. And you did feel like they were on a major rise then, didn't they? Because it was two promotions in a row, was it?
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, they missed out at Burnley, and then so two promotions in three seasons. It did feel like they were on the rise up.
Then just going back to the record, like you say, you designed the artwork, Mark. Like, what went into that? Is that based on a photograph, or did you kind of put it together from different photos?
Yeah, it's all highly illegal. I was a student at Leeds, and I had a holiday job in London at a printer's. So, I just spent a few hours digging out it. It's hard to think back. Nowadays, you just look online and get these pictures, wouldn't you? And drop them down. But I don't know how I got hold of Alf Ackerman, old 40s, 50s pictures of Hull City, and not even where they came from. Just a question, copying those and blurring them and making them a bit more arty, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Arty and amber.
Yeah, because the crowd scenes from the 60s, from Bunkers Hill in the 60s.
Okay, right.
Yeah, because there are things like, what you call it, banners, aren't they?
Yeah.
When my mum and dad left there, years ago, but when they moved house, it was still my, Hull City Tigers, it said on it, which is a bit controversial now.
It
was Hull City Tigers, because I've got it printed, I've got some printers on a sheet, and then in black, I'm using a back Sharpie, before Sharpies were invented, I put the in front of me. I still had that. And I've still got my rattle. Of course, those were days you still had rattle. Why do I keep these things? Have you still got loads of stuff, Mark? Have you?
No, I don't think so. No, I had a few clear outs. You're a hoarder, aren't you?
Well, no, I've started the city stuff. I say I gave to Jeff Bealby, and he was going to put it all for charity, but I had loads of programmes and actually, I found that era, the sort of 64, 65 era, 66 era. I've got a photo of them all, the framed ones. So I just found that quite recently, which must have somehow passed by. So that'll be going to Jeff to be auctioned if anybody's interested in it. It's a full,
I remember you going to a match. I remember taking my son Harvey to a match. I think this is right, but I remember you coming along and bringing that rattle. I mean, this is 20 years after rattles went out. So nobody around us knew what a rattle was. It just looked like an offensive weapon.
Yeah. It did look like an offensive. And I think I remember your so Harvey would have been, what would he have been, about 12 or something?
Yeah.
There was me getting this rattle going.
They were massive as well, weren't they? I remember.
They were.
Yeah.
Yes. And then just in terms of distributing the record, like you say, you had boxes of them in Hull and Sydney, Scarborough. How did you go about that?
It was probably done, wasn't it?
It was only about 3 weeks later when it came out, big game against Scunthorpe. So we were expecting quite a big crowd, so they released the record then, didn't they, officially? And then we went to Humberside and it was in the Hull Daily Mail and there was a bit of publicity about it. And
Viking.
Did you buy it to the ground when you went in? I can't remember.
No. But all I remember is that it was for sale at Sydney Scarborough, hence it being number one in the charts there.
Perhaps that was the only outlet. I mean, perhaps that's why it went to number one, because that's the only place you could buy it. Yeah.
Yes, I don't remember going around all the other record shops, Gough and Davy. I don't remember going around those, but Sydney. Maybe Don had something with, because he knew Sydney Scarborough did a chart. I think it was very much he was behind all that, wasn't he, Mark? Sort of pushing the media and that sort of stuff.
And they must have played it at the ground, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they played it when they came out for at least a season. We used to play Tiger Rag, an old jazz thing. They played that from the 60s through to the 70s. Then they played Eye of the Tiger when they came out, I think. And then they played Tigers Are Back for, a season.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, that must have been a good feeling, yeah.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, though, after things like Eye of the Tiger recorded, you know, an amazing studio in wherever it was, you know, I was recording this little 8-track studio. It probably didn't sound quite as big as it could have done, but it was a thrill, wasn't it, Mark? It really was a thrill.
Those kind of things always give you a bit of a kick, don't they? My student film was about Hull City. It was called See You at Wembley, Frankie Walsh. Yeah, it was a story about a fictional story about a Hull City fan and a Hull City player called Frankie Walsh, who didn't exist. I remember going to Leeds United and hearing him, and they were chanting his name. That's a really weird thing.
Have you seen that film, Harry?
That's on Tiger Tube, isn't it? I've not watched it.
Is it? Yeah. I'm the organist in that film.
All right.
I'm the church organist.
Uncredited
church organist.
And I've got to ask about the disco mix. Like, who came up with that?
What happens on the disco mix? I can't remember. I'm going to have to check it out.
It's just the same thing without singing.
Yeah, it's instrumental. It's like a bit more, of a beat, yeah.
I think there was you could get a thing called a clap trap. Is it lots of clapping on it?
Yeah, it sounds like that. Yeah.
You know, now it'd be like that. But then you couldn't do that. I'd forgotten about that. I mean, of course, you know, I think our finer work is the City's on Fire, isn't it, Mark? It was our long awaited follow up single, which came how many years later? What, 2008 was it?
No, it was after that, wasn't it? It was the next promotion. 2008. Yes, there was the next promotion, 2000.
I thought it came out and then came out again later, did it? Because we changed the lyrics slightly to be more anti-Alan.
Yeah, but Alan wasn't... a re-release. Sorry.
We re-released it, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, Harry?
No, is that on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. You've got to see that. City's on Fire with Mark. Mark made a fantastic film.
It's one of these I've seen, but I don't know the name of it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
That sounds a bit better because that's done at a proper studio, you know. And yeah. I know what I'm doing now.
And there were no footballers involved.
No football. It was easier to do, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you think, you know, back when you did the first one, it was easy to get everyone on board, kind of thing? Like, it wasn't as many loopholes to go through. You could just do it directly with the club.
Yeah, I think it'd be impossible now, wouldn't it? I think you'd have to go through.
On the Cities of on Fire, there's all sorts of legal things you had to get through, didn't you, for your song, from the publishers of the original song and all that.
Yeah, because we just agreed that it was, you know, it was for charity, this song, and I got my publisher rang up from the publisher, rang up and said, you can't just give it away. I said, well, sure, can you not? No, you can't. No. So, but it was, again, that got to number one on, was it Viking FM? Or no, it was, what was it, Mark? Tim Gibson's station, KC FM.
Oh, yeah.
They were really behind it. They really got behind that. And I think that was partly why we ended up doing that too, because there was a link with Tim Gibson at KCFM, yeah.
So when I put that video up, it got stopped by somebody, legals, because of the copyright issues of the tune, which was you yourself, really.
I know that would have been my publisher. I mean, they've done that with my own song, you know, songs from my first album, Grace and New Blonde. It was taken down, and I don't know whether it's actually gone back up again.
But back in the Tigers of Bambay, then none of that was happening because
Didn't you have problems with some of the footage that you used?
On the Cities on Fire, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you sort of spoke nicely to the chap and said, look, I'm a City fan.
Yeah, it's very nice, very good. But back in the times of Bantamay, you didn't ring anybody up or ask anybody's permission to do anything, did you? You just got it out there. Little Don Robinson style.
Yeah.
And it must have been, you know, nice to help the players, obviously, the players' pool. Was that a good feeling as well, kind of, with the money coming off the back of it?
Yeah, great. I mean, because there were all sorts of ways. I mean, Don was good. But people were going around. I remember Don on a horse, Don Robinson on a horse going around, and there would be stewards with buckets and people would throw money. So everybody got behind it. So it was just at that time, it just seemed the right thing to do, didn't it?
Yeah. And they were very appreciative of it, you know, because it did, you know, it's quite, I think it's pretty hard time for them for 2 months or so when they weren't getting paid at all. I mean, some of them left the club, didn't they? And you know, I think there's a bond between the fans and the players that's you know doesn't really exist anymore. You know, that feeling that they were out there playing for nothing and the crowd knew it.
Yeah.
There's a real loyalty thing going on.
Would you ever consider doing a 2022 version?
Somebody mentioned it on Twitter, didn't they, the other day, Mark? Wasn't it Archon said we need a new song or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, the new chairman said that. Yeah.
Do it, definitely.
Full city.
Get Archon singing on there,
BS. Oh, yeah.
We'll be on Turkish Got Talent.
Exactly. Imagine the equipment he could get hold of.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I noticed Mark tagged him in, didn't you, Mark? You said we've already got a song. We've already done one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of This Was Boothroyd Park. As always, just like to give a quick shout out to those who made the research easy, including OnCloud 7, Tiger Tube Player, Tiger Bass, and Rich Gardens The Decade.